come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I love that song. We have been redeemed. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are. And I learned that song with the last one, all my sins are washed away, all my sins are under the blood. All my sins are under the blood. I have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been redeemed, and it's an exciting time that we live in right now. And so it's appropriate that we are teaching this last book of Ruth, or this last chapter of Ruth, on this week. So we're coming up on Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is known for what? It's known for our love. It's also National Heart Month. What are the other things that we're all wearing red for in the month of February? For me, I'm wearing it for all the birthdays that are in February with my family. But it is just a perfect time for us to do that. And so, Lord, as we just get into your word tonight, Father, I pray for your presence to make yourself known, Lord. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit to come upon me, Lord, to come upon us, Lord, that we would hear from you. We have come to hear from you tonight, Lord, and when we come with that expectation, we will hear from you. And I am thankful, Lord. I'm thankful that we are hearing from you. I thank you, Lord, for this book. I pray, God, that it will be burned into our hearts what it is to live with that chesed in our lives, Lord, that kind of love that has no exit strategy. There is no plan B with chesed, Lord, but that it is wholly and completely given over. So we want to learn from this book, and we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. My husband is home sick right now. He got sick on Sunday, and if Bill stays in bed more than the allotted time, then you know there's trouble, because he just doesn't ever stop. But the Lord apparently decided it was time for him to stop, because he's really down. He really is sick. So I appreciate your prayers for that. I've been listening recently to a podcast, and on this podcast, they were talking about what to look for in a husband. All the things that you look for in a husband. And does he do this when he gets angry? When he's in this kind of a situation, how does he react? What is it in this? And does he take good care of you? And all these things that you're supposed to look for. I don't remember looking for any of those things when I met Bill. And most of those things have not mattered throughout the years. We knew that the Lord had us together. And so for almost 47 years, we've stayed together. And all those people who said that our marriage wouldn't work are all divorced now. But we are still together because God put us together, and we knew that it was God that had done it. So Ruth did not have a choice on picking. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, 47 years, that's a good time. Ruth did not have a choice on who her husband was going to be. She didn't get to look at this man, and she didn't talk about his dreamy eyes or about his big muscles or about his soft voice or how he came nearer to me. No, she did exactly what Naomi told her to do when she asked Boaz to marry her. She did exactly what Naomi told her to do, because she knew that it was for Naomi's good that she follow through and obey. So we have that. She had that chesed love for Naomi, and Naomi's chesed love for Ruth, and because of Ruth's chesed love for Naomi, Ruth obeyed, and because of God's chesed love for them all, Boaz took on the same chesed love for both of these women. He loved both of these women. He had a chesed for both of these women. He could look at Naomi and see her plight and know that if there's something I can do about that, I want to do something about that. He saw Ruth's plight and he wanted to do something about it. A little side note, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the book of Ruth follows the book of Proverbs. And then you, as you know, the last chapter in Proverbs, Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10 and going to the end, it starts out with a virtuous woman who can find one. And so in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament, when that ends with a virtuous woman who can find one, that is answered in the book of Ruth. Ruth is that virtuous woman that one can find. So just a little tidbit in case somebody stops you on the street and asks you that question, you're going to have that information. It has nothing to do with the study, really, except that it really runs together. Well, we left Naomi waiting to find out what happens in chapter 3, verse 18, because Boaz will not stop until this thing is completed. Ruth and Boaz had had a very private conversation, but now he is about to have a very public conversation there in the gate. Neither Ruth or Naomi were going to have a voice in the matter. Neither of them have anything to say in this matter. Boaz will handle it all. This man of strength, this noble character, will act and he will speak with wisdom. Boaz trusts in the God of Israel. And so we look at chapter 4, and it starts out with, "Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative just happened to come by." The one whom Boaz had spoken just happened to come by in the gate. Now, what is the gate? The gate is that portion of the wall where they would go into, and that was where the legal matters were taken care of. That's where the arguments went on. That's where the conversations went on. And that's where things were settled in that place. And so this relative comes by. And so Boaz says, "Come on over here. Come on over here, friend," it says. "Come aside, friend, and sit down here." And so he came aside and he sat down. Notice that his name is not mentioned and he will remain nameless throughout this whole thing. So I call him the relative no name, because he has no part in the story of redemption. And so there is no reason for us to know his name, because he has no part in it. "And he took 10 men," that is, Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit here." So they sat down. Now, why 10 men? 10 is the number of completion and of the law. The Ten Commandments, it took 10 Jewish men in a city to have a synagogue. It means 10 is that number of completion. There were more than 10 elders in Bethlehem, but it took 10 to have a quorum, to make a decision on anything. So he took 10 men and asked them to sit there. And then he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you." And he says to him, "I will redeem it." To me, this looks like a situation. I don't know if you've ever been out shopping and someone has something in their hand and you stand there and you can tell that they're making a decision. Are you going to purchase it? It's the last one on the shelf. Are you going to, you know, you're wondering, do I want that? You know, you're holding it in your hand. And you look at them and you say, I was just wondering, are you going to get that? Or, because if you're not, I would like to. Right away, they've made their decision that they are buying it right now. And that's what happened here, I think. The decision was made, oh, you could do it? Okay, let me take, I'll take it. I want to be the one that gets the land and gets this financial help along the way. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess." K- Can you see his face right now? The Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. She doesn't have any children. So, and the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And so here is this no-name man. Boaz goes on with this story, and he tells him, here's the deal. Notice how Boaz spoke of Ruth. Up to this point, he has had nothing but good to say about her. Up to this point, he has nothing but good stuff. He had nothing but admiration, nothing but praise. Her demonstration of the chesed love for Naomi. And he described her as a woman of noble character, someone that any Israelite man would love to have as a wife. But here, Boaz introduces her as the Moabite, a foreigner who belongs to one of Israel's most hated enemy kingdoms. And she's described as the dead man's widow. And obviously she has no children because you'll be forced to raise up inheritance for her. Now Ruth is being presented as someone who's not desirable at all. The no-name gives up his right to redeem Naomi's land. He's not doing anything illegal. He's not doing anything immoral, but he's failed miserably to do chesed for Naomi because he doesn't care about anybody else but himself. It's all about him. He was obeying the law, but he was not willing to walk that extra mile. Now, verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, all that was Mahlon's, from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And that is exactly what will happen. And may you prosper in Ephrathah, and may you be famous in Bethlehem. And wasn't he famous in Bethlehem? So this thing about taking off the sandal was very interesting. Let's look at what Ruth could have done. And we're going to go back to Deuteronomy 25. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. One of these days, I'm telling you guys, one of these days we're going to have a Bible, what is it? A Bible drill. A sword drill. That's right. We're going to have a sword drill because this is the sword of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit. And we're gonna all stand up when we get the right scripture and see what we can win at that. But anyway, in chapter 25, starting with verse 5, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. So this is talking about the kinsman redeemer. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, and his name, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders, that's where they're at right now, and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. And then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, I do not want to take her, then his brother's wife shall call to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, so shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him who had his sandal removed. Now, that's what Ruth could have done. And now our no-name relative does have a name, and it says that his name would be the house of him who had his sandal removed. So yeah, now he does have a name. That's what could have happened. As I was studying through this, I've come across this book by John Piper. It's Ruth Under the Wings of God, and it's written in almost in a poetry sort of way, or prose, actually, and you've got to hear it. You've just got to hear the way that he wrote it. And he says, and so, as soon as light shone on the low gate leading into Bethlehem, I gathered the elders, and to them I laid out my case, and to the head whose right preceded mine, I said, Naomi's land is yours. The claim? You marry Ruth and keep the name of Mahlon in your line. Declare your will, for I am next, and swear that I will take her if you can't. I wondered how the Lord would grant the longing of my heart, and by another providence comply with Ruth's appeal and my desire. And then I learned, he said, acquire it for yourself. The land I would have had, for it is very good. But Ruth, she's a Moabite, and we're Jews. It isn't right. The land is yours. And Malan's name, for what it's worth, and Ruth, and the shame. He took his shoe and gave it to me in the gate. This is Boaz writing this. I turned and threw it out to Ruth among the crowd. She caught it like a wreath and bowed. I quieted the shouts and cried, what do you think of this, my bride? And she replied, I think the Lord has fought today and with his sword has struck a sin up on the gate and hung on it our wedding date. As for the badge of shame, you tell. The line of Judah bears it well and will for generations yet to come. The book of Moses set me free. There is a mercy in the law of God beyond my skin. By faith, God makes a person right, be she a Jew or a Moabite. O God, she was a rock of truth. Ignite in us the faith of Ruth. How precious that she could have done something like that. And she chose to do what she did. So Boaz married Ruth, and so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. They were speaking to Naomi, and may his name be famous in Israel, and it would be. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him his name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed, and Obed means servant. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. And we're going to get into what these last ones in just a moment. So he married Ruth, and the Lord gave her conception. She bore a son. This is the story of redemption through Chesed. The story of redemption through Chesed. God could have done wonders with Naomi and Ruth. God could have done some miraculous thing that took care of him, but he chose not to. He chose to let the people, to quietly behind the scenes, God allowed his people to represent him. He allowed his people to represent him. Boaz's loving, courageous, compassionate, and righteous actions represented God. And Ruth's courageous, loving, daring, and loyal actions, along with her commitment to Naomi's God, who had become her God, show a way to go beyond the written law and seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Ruth becomes a model of what Chesed is like, that kind of love. Naomi is no longer bitter or empty. Now Naomi has a son. Her identity has radically changed. Naomi has a son. But wait, Ruth had the baby, right? No, Naomi had the son that would carry on the inheritance. Ruth's identity has also changed. She's no longer a foreign widow. She's now married to a man of noble character. She is a mother, and she's being compared to the great women of Israel. Rachel, Leah, Tamar, in verse 12. Ruth is now an Israelite woman, a woman of noble character, the mother of Obed, the ancestor of the great King David, and eventually of the Messiah, Jesus, Matthew 1, 5 through 16. God's Chesed transforms and renews people. God's love transforms and renews people. 1 John 4, 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God's love is so much more than a feeling or an emotion. God's love is action. It is action. We know God's immense love in that he sent his own son to give us life. He had Chesed love for us. He put his own life aside so that I could have eternal life. That is the main quality of Chesed. It is action that's born from commitment, born from loyalty, born from compassion, and born from love. If Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi illustrate this for us, Jesus Christ perfects it in us. He is the perfect one. He's perfect in obedience and sacrifice. God's Chesed in Christ gives us new life, makes us a new creation, and enables us to be like Ruth, to be like Boaz, to be like Naomi. Boaz showed his Chesed by being willing to lose Ruth, even at He was willing to lose Ruth to this no-name if it was the best thing for Ruth. He loved Ruth. I think it's obvious in our scripture. He wanted what was best for Ruth, even if it meant he did without. He knew it wasn't about him. It was about Ruth, and it was about Naomi's welfare. And God honored that. Who's Boaz's mom? Rahab. Rahab and his dad is Salmon, who's in the last part of our text here. Salmon was of the tribe of Judah. And then our last scriptures say, now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez was begot by... He was, Judah was his dad. You want to read this story, Genesis 38. You want to read this story because Perez's dad did not want to be the Goel that he was supposed to be. And yet God arranged it so that he was. So you can read it all in Genesis 38. Perez means breakthrough. Breakthrough is... He was called Breakthrough because he pushed his twin brother out of the way, who was already coming out, pushed him out of the way and broke through and to be the firstborn. So interesting tidbit on that, and that is also in Genesis 38. The genealogy is here to show us the connection. The seventh and the tenth names in Hebrew genealogy are usually the most important, and in our text here, we see that Boaz is number seven and David is number 10. So they are the important ones that we're talking about. Now, Paul Miller wrote this, and I couldn't put it in my own words in any way, so I read it to you directly from him. Ruth is the founder of the greatest dynasty of Israel. And I want you to hear this. Suddenly, the simple, clever, human story of two struggling widows takes on a startling new dimension. It becomes a bright, radiant thread woven into the fabric of Israel's larger national history. When David was fleeing for his life, he sent his family to Moab. And so Ruth was written, the story of Ruth was written while either in David's life or in Solomon's life, and it was written to dispel the rumors that David was a Moabite and to show God's design in David's heritage. That the greatest king of Israel, I love this as well, that the greatest king of Israel should trace his roots to a destitute widow, her Moabite daughter-in-law, and an aging bachelor from a humble town of Bethlehem is a supreme divine accomplishment. Yes, Boaz was a bachelor. I believe that he was a bachelor. I believe that he did not have another wife. And why did he not have another wife? He was an older man. Why did he never get married? I don't know. Because for such a time as this, God has always positioned his people exactly where they needed to be. This biblical pattern of strength from weakness, glory from brokenness, was written long before another human, humble woman from the same insignificant town of Bethlehem was the head of another royalty of Jesus Christ when Mary gave birth to him there. Hopefully, we have learned how to love by going through this small book, these four small chapters. Everything Ruth did, from walking through the gates, ignored and unthanked, to giving her newborn son to Naomi. Something I wanted to mention, in where it says that in verse 16, then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Did anybody else look at that the same way that I looked at it? Okay, so when I lived in Australia, there was a woman from India who was telling me a story about a 13, 15-year-old girl, and she said these words, I took her to my bosom and I nursed her. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what to do with this, because that just sounds weird. I took her on my lap, pulled her to my bosom, and nursed her. All right. Okay, then. All she was saying was I took care of her. She wasn't talking about feeding her. She was talking about nursing her to health, like we nurse people to health. It didn't have anything. Ruth was the feeder. Ruth was the one who got to feed the baby. But when I think in English, you know, in our American thoughts, nursing someone is breastfeeding, right? No, not in this instant. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that that was clear to us all. But so Ruth walked through those gates, ignored, unthanked, to giving her newborn son to Naomi. It is a function of her love for Naomi. She risked her honor by laying at the feet of Boaz, alone and vulnerable, in order to restore Naomi's family line. That's love. That's love. By marrying an older man, she almost guarantees herself that she will again be a widow. That's love. This complete absence of self reflects the mind of Christ. My prayer for us is that we have learned from this little love story, the gospel story, the story of resurrection, the story of restoration, what it truly means to love with the love of Christ, to love with a said, I have been redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. There is a Redeemer, and that Redeemer is Jesus, God's own Son. And may we never forget that and always live our lives for him. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this book that we have looked at and delved into. And Lord, I pray that we have learned from it what it is to love those who maybe don't even deserve to be loved. But Lord, to give ourselves wholly and completely to you. And Father, next week as we just get together with our groups and minister to each other in fellowship and love each other and pray for each other, Lord, may it be a time where we look over these things that we've learned in Ruth. And then the next time we get together, Lord, as we open the pages of Esther and find out about this wonderful woman who also had chesed love, who also laid down her own life for someone else and gave us the idea of what it is that you've done for us. Lord, may we never forget what you've done for us. May we never take it for granted. May we never walk in a way, Lord, that brings sadness to your name. May we never, Lord, be people who bring shame on you. But Lord, may we always walk in confidence in knowing that we are loved so we can love others. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, next week, off to your groups right now. Right now. Next week, you're going to be with each other. So remember, if you show up here, there won't be anybody to greet you. Bless you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Everybody. Everybody everywhere.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.